This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's us, and we're back, and this is Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm Rich Bradbury.
Fida Liu.
And Jeff Sundu.
If you want to get in touch very quickly, 018-789-8899. WhatsApp, Twitter is at BFM Radio. What role should free-to-air networks play as they move to digital TV? Do let us know. We had a WhatsApp.
Yes, this is from Benji again. Thanks.
Busy, Benji.
Yeah. It's a continuation from his earlier point. He said, a national progress helps as people still think PH isn't doing enough. Of course, they must be truthful, not propaganda. And I forget, a National Football League needs more limelight. He went on.
That's a good idea.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
Well, this is from Baka Agil, but it's about our talk on transportation. Mm-hmm. I once took the train from Butterworth to Bangkok. It took more than 24 hours. Unless train service improves, taking a flight is still most convenient.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I once took a train from KL to Singapore. It took 11 hours.
Taking the bus would be also, probably better than taking the train at the moment.
Yeah.
Because I've taken the bus to Singapore a couple of times. You know, they've got this, executive coach. There's like double
something, right?
Yeah, there's like double deckers. There's like a whole bunch of them. There's like Nice buses. There's Aeroline. There's like Odyssey. It's a whole bunch of them, and they're comfortable.
They're
great.
Yeah. Right. Final story. Then.
It all started in a church. We're not going for the sermon. this is a cap that makes future millionaires. So this is happening out in the US, and it's called Cap Millionaire. And a dozen or so students are all children between the ages of 10 and 14. And this, what's the name? Okay, Lukman, okay, Hasina Lukman. She teaches these kids about financial intelligence, right? And she does a summary, financial summary for the Disney company, showing, among other things, a serious dip in value in the recent past. One of the kids' statements was, I bet that was when Aladdin came out. And I think the premise of this story, though, is really about financial intelligence and how much we know about that growing up.
Yep.
Right? And how we...
Zero.
Yeah, and how we wish, that was part of education as well.
Mm-hmm.
So the kids that are turning up for these classes are kids from families where both parents work, so they already understand that you need to work hard to have a good life. So, and they're coming, they're bringing the kids in to understand, how can I make sure I have enough money for university, and how I can make sure that I'm okay in life? Because I think that's a scary thing, and they're also training them to be hopefully a new generation of entrepreneurs. So what's happened in the US is that a growing number of summer camps, right, apart from your usual summer camps, right, are now focused on teaching children about financial intelligence. I don't know if this is anything new in this part of the world, because we've had that happening here already.
For camps?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
For financial literacy
and
things?
Yes, there's a few. So, I mean, it's happening, I guess, in the US, it's happening in Hong Kong, it's happening in India. It's called Youngpreneurs, which is out of India, and they pair teenagers with real-life entrepreneurial mentors. I think, like in Malaysia, we've got Dwi Emas by Ann Tam, and that's a school from the get-go where they teach the kids how to be entrepreneurs, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's the way forward. I mean, whatever you decide to do, but have the alternative where you can actually learn how finances work, not be scared with it. I think, like, we're just frightened because we just don't know what it's all about.
I think one of the things that I looked at and I liked about the idea of this camp is that when the kids attend, when they kind of register, they get virtual currency of $10,000 to invest, and you can choose on which stocks you want to invest it in. And I think that that's a really smart way of teaching kids, how to do well and about the unpredictability and the volatility of the market.
So on day one, they learn the basics of the stock market, how it works, trading currencies, opening and closing times. And she says the children tend to pick stocks that belong to very familiar companies like Apple and Disney without giving much thought. But a couple of days in, once they're familiar with dividends and other relevant information, they start scrutinizing companies based on a much wider range of variables. So you start with the familiar and then you go from there. And it's good, right? You just sort of not real money, play money, and then find out what happens. There's this guy called a little boy, James Begin, 13. He lost money in the stock market challenge the first day by investing in blockchain, but then made a virtual 1,000 overnight by investing in Golden Star Resources, a Canadian company with mines in Ghana. Begin says he's learned how banks make money, but still confused by how President Trump's tweets can make the stock, can move the stock market. He says it's pretty insane that one person can affect trillions of dollars. And I think, like, even if information about credit card debts and student loans. Also, I think like with financial education, we also got to move beyond just the stock market. I think there are other ways of raising money now. Do we want to work with VCs? Do we want to work with angels? Is stock market the only way to make money? We've got to look beyond that, you know?
But I think it's like all these great pointers. Mm. And if only, I'm just thinking, if only, like, you know, going back to our first story, like, if, you know, imagine if there is like a segment on our, you know, state-owned free-to-air TVs, yeah, that's moved to digital, like can actually show you about, you know, the processes of entrepreneurship at the young age itself. Mm. Because like Frida mentioned, like in states like Sabah and Sarawak, where knowledge of these things can be very hard to find, but imagine if there is actually, like, you know, a half an hour program that happens on a daily basis, which is, you know, after school, you come back home and you turn on the TV and you're learning about, you know, things, but it's very localized. So it feels
and
like
fun
as well, right? Yeah. So, you know, because we've seen there are so many of these kind of content, but it's, you know, on the, you know, it's on the paid, very premium kind of pricing. So it's really expensive. But, you know, we should be able to actually kind of take this, because, you know, it's government owned, it's state owned. So they should be able to, like, you know, buy these kind of contents and then, you know, make sure that it is free to air on these networks, and it'll be great value for the young Malaysians. Mm-hmm. I'm very, very sure of it.
Right. Shall we wrap up then?
We should.
Ladies and gents, we asked you about state-owned TV and what role they should play as everything moves towards digital. Mm-hmm. That was the story we started off with, Jeff.
Yeah, because Malaysia TV goes fully digital. It will end, the analog versions will end on the 31st of October.
Then, of course, we spoke about planes, trains or automobiles and that word, Flixcom, otherwise known as flight shame. We spoke about that. And then we wrapped up, of course, with
The camp that makes future millionaires.
Right. Don't go anywhere, though, because coming up after the 1 o'clock news, it's the Breakfast Grill replay. Delium, a player in the local oil and gas market, providing services to Petronas, amongst others. But as a company that's dependent on the oil production business, what is Delium doing to stay above water in an industry which is seeing great volatility? The Breakfast Grill spoke with Nan Yusri, the group managing director, about the company's challenges, possible diversification and strategies going forward. If you missed any part of this show, our podcast is available from all of the places that you listen to your podcast from and on Spotify. That's it, folks. We'll be back same time, same place tomorrow on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.